Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. I never know if noon is morning or afternoon. Like, somebody help me out with this. This is Charlotte Pierce. I'm the producer of Ready Row USA, and I'm very excited to continue our Black History Month's coverage with Maurice Scott Jr., who's a JL ambassador and an accomplished rower and rowing advocate. Shannon Borum is here. She's our assistant producer, and she'll be running an interview with him, along with Kimberly Reynolds, who's been chiming in on our podcasts as commenting. So we got to know her. She's in Chicago, and we're very happy to have her come on and do news commentary. She's a member of Recovery on Water, and she's a coach and also a U.S. rowing referee. So we've done a few episodes mentioning the referee program that they run, and that's a very necessary aspect of rowing, and we appreciate those referees. How you doing, Chad? How you doing, everybody? And you can unmute yourself and say hello, and then we'll do the news or the sponsors in the news.
Well, down in the south, we are very wet, so I'm tired of all the rain.
Okay. Well,
Well,
how you doing?
Up in the Midwest, we're cold and it's getting ready to snow.
And I'm in right outside of DC, and it's still raining. It seems like it's been raining for the past 3 days, so
Well,
it's one time.
it's not even April showers yet, so I guess we're going to have to put up with a little rain. We got it here in Boston too, so and let's head on, and then Maurice, if you have the booming problem on your mic, just mute yourself and we'll unmute you when you're talking. So
Gotcha.
good deal. Okay, Shannon, what do we do? What should people be listening for in this podcast besides the wisdom of Maurice and Kimberly?
Well, every week we do a hashtag, so we're going to sneak in a hashtag. And why does that matter? Because we like to give away stuff. All right, so listen during the podcast for our episode hashtag and then engage with us, please, on social media. Kimberly, are you going to be able to do both of those today? You're going to be part of our group and social media?
Yes, probably.
Kimberly, I think you won something because you posted it last week. I think we owe you something.
I like winning things.
This week, I think I'm working on getting some remote coaching from either Grow Tulsa, or the Tulsa program, STEM program, or Mark Wilson, who is pictured here delivering a mini muffin to me at rowing camp this January. So, yeah, and that isn't that fun? It's like I said, how are you going to get the mini muffin over to me, Mark? And he's well, I just put it on this oar and serve it up, serve it up.
I love watching
Okay.
his posts for grocery shopping. You always know when a camp's about to start because he's stocking up on
I know,
supplies.
like he's big pictures of meat, big steaks. Okay,
Exactly.
Shannon, where can people
Right.
find get notifications of the shows?
Well, we are part of the Rowing Chat Network, so you can subscribe to receive notifications of upcoming shows. You can send us news tips, and join our community by visiting the website. So all of those links we will put in the show notes for you. Okay. We also want to say thanks to our live viewers. We try to get to as many of your questions and comments as we can. To those of you who are watching or listening later, thank you.
And we would like to say a word about our fabulous sponsors. We have a new sponsor this month, but the first one we're going to mention is.
Yes, I'm going to talk about Pregel Charlotte if you will talk about our new sponsor.
Absolutely. Yes, please.
So this is exciting for our international folks. If you want to go to a camp not here in the States, how about Pregel? So when you go to these camps, you're going to get coaching by experienced world-class rowers. You get to work in small groups. You're going to get all that personalized recommendation stuff that you want out of a camp. They're going to give you video analysis, and you're going to learn to work with your own data. Lots of great boats from WinTech and Fluid, and it's a beautiful 3K long lake in Brno, and that's not far from Prague or Vienna. So not only can you row, you can attach a vacation around it, or you can attach competing internationally. So if you want to go to the Open Czech Masters Regatta, it's very handy for that, or even the World Rowing Masters Regatta, which is going to be in Otzenheim, Austria this year. The camps work hand in hand with both of those events, and it would be a great experience. And thank you to Pregel for sponsoring us.
We got to figure out how to get the podcast over there so we can, you know, go on a few junkets, Shannon. I don't.
That'd be awesome.
I know, right? And the new sponsor we have is our executive producer, Rebecca Caro, and her partner in this program, Marlene Royal, produce the Faster Masters training programs. They have two new standalone 12-week training programs. So it's February, it's time to get real, and these programs are designed to take you into competition. There's one program for long distance head races, and then one for the 1,000 meter side by side racing, which is coming up in probably some in April and more in May around Boston, at least. Each one lasts 12 weeks and is designed to fit around your busy schedule, you Masters athletes, 3 core sessions a week, and detailed explanations are included for all session intensities in the work pieces, so you will know what to do to help yourself improve. It's just the coolest program. Get a lot of good feedback on that. So you can buy your program. There's we have deals on all those sponsors at rowing.chat/sponsors. And now I'm gonna pop off and run the slides. And Shannon, you're on. Thank you.
And Kimberly, I'm gonna put you on the spot for all of these.
Okay.
So there's a lot in the news happening, and I think we're going to just highlight a few of them. I think the big one in our world is going to be the indoor rowing that happened in Paris this week. Kimberly, yeah. I know you're an indoor coach. How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm feeling great about it. I got to watch a lot of the competition. I have a friend, Linda Murray, who placed third, women 55 to 59 years old. She was awesome. Awesome. Also got to see the 80-year-old New Zealander, who she was fabulous. I mean, this woman put a lot of people to shame. She came to win, she won, and she just gives me hope.
Right. I was so impressed with some of the numbers that people were posting. I mean, these were some fast races.
Yeah, they were. They were absolutely spot on fast. Right.
And there's a whole huge article on Row2K if you guys are interested in seeing who did what from where. They've got a lot. They've got a really good summary of the results from Paris. So head on over to Row2K and they will have lots of information for you.
And if you want to see the recaps, you can also go to YouTube and put in World Indoor Rowing Championships and they will give you the broadcast.
I love YouTube, man. And so our next bit, it's not necessarily news, but it's still something that we're super excited about. Mary Mazzio's film about Arshay Cooper's Manly Crew. Man, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, I am too.
I've been like social media stalking them. Please come to Atlanta. Please come to Atlanta. Please come to Atlanta.
I got to meet him this summer because they did it at the sprints and I was the alignment judge. For that race that they're actually filming. You may see my legs in this movie. I'm not real sure.
Listen, awesome. I'm going to say I knew you win, Kimberly. I mean, this is just, I'm so excited about this. And I think it's so special to be able to talk about it, especially during Black History Month, because, you know, when you read the book, they tell you in the mid 90s, they were the first African American crew team. And I just think, man, the 90s. Yes. That's so recent. I mean, the book, I texted Charlotte as I was reading it. I was on page 6 and I was like, I'm already crying. And I'm laughing and I'm crying. It's just such a wonderful story. And I just can't wait to see it and show my rowers. They're excited about it. So be on the lookout if you're in one of the lucky cities that is getting the most beautiful thing showing in your state.
Yeah, if you're in Chicago, it's going to be March the 27th. It's at the AMC 21, which is on Ohio Street. Downtown Chicago.
And I'm pretty excited for the folks involved in the film because it's actually going to debut at South by Southwest. Is that the official name? Yeah, that's pretty huge.
That is pretty huge. Yeah. I'm taking a lot of my family so they can understand what it is I do so they never see me.
Right. They're going to say, wait, you use your legs? What?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the world of indoor rowing. Okay. I think most of us who rowing clubs, we are all familiar with the C2. It's kind of like the industry standard. And now C2 and World Rowing are official partners for at least the next 4 years, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing to hear.
Mm-hmm. And they're, so what I love about C2 is they are doing a lot of community engagement to get indoor rowing into different areas. I think this is another one that's going to help strengthen their presence so that they can do more stuff in the rowing world.
Yeah, I mean, their machines are, and this is just my little opinion, but I love their machines because they give such accurate information. It basically, in my opinion, mimics, if you are a water rower, it mimics how you will feel on the water. And I just love the machine and the way it's built, and it's sturdy. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy to have been trained on a C2.
Yeah, and they're so durable. I mean, I keep four of them in my classroom for my club, and kids always want to hop on and hop off, and they can survive kids all day long. They're pretty good quality.
Yeah.
So now let's go back. I think we got that story about another 80-year-old smashing a record. And this one was not actually in Paris. This one was down in New Zealand, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
All right, yes. One more slide over, Charlotte, unless we... Oh, yeah, there we go.
Right there.
So this amazing lady, listen, I got hope for when I get a little bit older. I hope I can still be as awesome as these folks.
Yeah, me too.
So this is Barbara Sharp, and she just smashed 4 New Zealand indoor rowing records. So she did a 2K, a 1K, a 500-meter sprint, and a 300-meter sprint in the 80 to 84-year-old women's categories. They just had a Masters game, and she was thrilled by her results, but she said she wasn't too sure what the fuss was all about.
Oh,
fun. And do you follow a lot of the World Rowing news, Kimberly?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah, so this is, tell us all about the FISA Council report, because this was a lot of stuff.
Let me see. Well, I know that, hold on 1 second, I'm trying to figure out.
So they went over to Hungary, I think. So this was the FISA, the board. I can't remember the name of the board, but they had a whole bunch of the really important FISA people. They went over the strategic plan, key performance indicators, Olympic strategy.
Yeah, they're talking about, I know that they were talking about the Olympics this year and how everything was going to work itself out. Who the judges were going to be, where they were going to be stationed at, how things were going to be run. I think right now, I'm really not sure, but I remember hearing something just recently about this coronavirus thing, and they had one person in Japan, so they're kind of talking about keeping people safe, keeping people healthy. That was a big conversation that went on with the board.
And they're continuing they're solidifying all the plans for coastal rowing. So they're going to bring coastal rowing to the 2022 Youth Olympic Games in Senegal, which is super cool.
Yeah.
They're just really pushing coastal rowing. So that's going to start making, I guess, Olympic presence known pretty soon.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good report. We'll link to the show notes too. There's a lot of stuff discussed in Hungary that will be important to folks around the world. So we'll post that on our show notes. And in a bit of happy news that Charlotte queued us up on, do you know this group down in Florida, Kimberly?
Which group?
So Robert Berry, the guy that has made adaptive equipment for deaf rowers. Blind rowers.
Yeah, I heard about that. I've done a lot of research on it. But someone was telling me, because there have been some adaptive rowers that are blind who have been rowing. And I was really interested in learning about what he's actually doing and how this is going to impact the sport.
Right. So I think it's called remote coxswain, if I'm not sure. Please forgive me if that's the incorrect name. But basically, it's a device they put on the boat, and he steers the boat for the blind rowers. But anyways, his truck was stolen. And, you know, this is very specialized equipment. And if you've ever had anything stolen, you know, it's kind of hard to get it back. But luckily for Mr. Barry, it was found and all of his stuff was still in it. So very happy news for the folks in Florida. Because I think his double that he was coaching is like, they're ready to race like this weekend. So they needed all that equipment. So we're very happy for them.
Yes,
very happy for them.
Yay. Yeah.
Yes. And I guess our last little bit of news, Mahi Drysdale has had like a crazy kind of couple years. You know, we thought, I think he was out of the single because he did the eight, especially last year. Henley, I mean, that, Henley was different for him last year. Well, he's back in the single for Tokyo. They did some different selection processes, and he's headed for Tokyo in the single again. So I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Yeah, I am too. I'm excited to see him row. I met him a couple of years ago. He's a very nice gentleman. He was very encouraging to me as an older person that started rowing at an older age. He was very nice, he gave me a lot of advice, and I really find him a fascinating human being because he's been rowing doubles, singles, you know, he's done it all. So
right. And you can't, I mean, he's so good. He's just so good.
He makes it look so easy.
He does. He does. So, well, that's about it for our news wrap up. Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us today and helping with the news.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I would love to come back and do more. I enjoy you and Charlotte so much. In my middle of my day, I can watch you guys.
Well, we're going to start making you do it every week. So I hope you like it that much.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Kimberly. Stick around for the rest of our time. Because now is like the super exciting thing that I have been waiting for. Finally, after months of, you know, sorry, Maurice, Instagram stalking, we get to chat with Maurice Scott. And so thank you so much for being here.
Oh, no problem at all. The honor is definitely mine for being on the show. So.
And I'm loving that shirt you're wearing. That's something we do have in common. You are a Team JL captain, right?
Yes, that is correct.
You are kind of like one of the faces of the JL brand. And actually, that's one of the reasons I wanted you on this show, because, you know, for me to open up JL to go to order unis for my club, my school where I have a club is 65% African-American. I thought, I'm opening this JL thing for rowing. And here is an African-American dude on the front cover. I love this. So I mean, love it, love it, love it. So for our listeners who may not know you or may not stalk you on social media like I do, give us a little introduction.
So pretty much born and raised in the city of Philadelphia, Ron was introduced to me back in 2005 in middle school, Bachelor's Barge Club gave our school an opportunity to do a 2-week learning to row program. So that's when I was introduced, got into a boat. And after about the 2 weeks, there wasn't any type of program or club that I could be a part of. So I ended up.
This was relatively early, like elementary school, right?
Right. So fifth grade. So I was real young. I was like one of the first like sports that I've ever been, that I've ever like took part in. So that's, you know, I had that. That's when I was first introduced to the sport. And then you fast forward a couple years later to my 10th, was it my 10th? No, sorry, my 11th grade year, when Philadelphia City Rowing came into my high school and started recruiting, because it's the first Philadelphia public school team to be formed. And so after that, you know, joined because I remember being in the boat with Bachelors for the 2-week learner row, and I always was hoping to get back into it. Didn't know how, didn't know anybody that rowed except me. So that was just like, you know what, let's give this, you know, another shot. I mean, I played basketball, I played baseball, played football, did it all, but rowing
stuck.
Right. And being around the water was just something that I always loved to do. So rowing.
Well, our viewers will see the picture. Charlotte, if you'll go back to that last picture, you just published a blog last week and you gave us some pretty personal stuff, I think, that maybe folks may not have realized about you when you were in high school and sort of trying to figure yourself out there. Would you like to share a little bit of that?
Oh, for sure. So in middle school, never really, it was real like hard for me. I was little, small. I didn't really have like social skills. I don't know what I needed to be cool, but that just wasn't, you know, part of my personality, I guess. So it was hard for me to, you know, make friends. I was, like I said, I was small. So whenever there was times where we could play different little pickup sports in gym class or something, I was always the last one picked by default. It wasn't like they picked me. It was just, I had to be on a team of some sort.
And I think a lot of people don't realize how frequently that happens, you know, and a lot of kids don't ever admit to it. And, you know, that there's like a silent struggle of kids just trying to fit in, man.
Right. And, you know, I told myself a couple years ago that I'd be more vocal about it because the way this all set up is like so crazy. So the picture that's on the slide was my eighth grade, you know, graduation from that middle school that I attended, where I was, you know, going through struggles. I, you know, had people, you know, I've had people assault me in middle school for literally no reason whatsoever. I've had people, you know, the words they said. My father is a police officer, so everybody always kind of nagged, like, dad's guy's a cop, blah, blah, we don't like cops, we hate cops, you know, so that whole sentiment there. So it wasn't, you know, going home every day, not really wanting to go to school because I didn't know what the next day was going to bring. I mean, getting home from school, you know, without having any issues was my good day. It wasn't, you know, getting an A on a test. It wasn't, you know, raising my grades up. It wasn't, you know, being on honor roll. That wasn't, you know, my triumph. My triumph was getting home without, you know, being attacked that day.
And then Philadelphia City Rowing shows up and changes your life, huh?
Right. So what happened, like this, so the same museum that I graduated eighth grade in, was the Independent Seaport Museum. And, you know, fast forward, like I said, up until, I want to say, was it 2018? I think it was 2018. I was put into a museum. There was an exhibit that was highlighting the history of rowing in Philadelphia and the growth of it, you know, starting with John B. Kelly. And he's an Olympian from Philadelphia. And a lot of that backstory, and you know, next to him, which is like so crazy, you know, you see me and my medals from when I rowed overseas, and the fact that I was the first African American to ever represent the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia. So that in and of itself, to be amongst these great people, next to an Olympic medal from Rio, one of the ladies in the women's eight had her medal in that exhibit as well. So it was definitely an honor. And that same museum was the same museum that I graduated eighth grade with. So it was really like, it meant a lot because, you know, going through all of that in eighth grade, and then you fast forward to, you know, I'm in the museum now. Like, it's right, kind of like uplifting that's in and of itself. So.
And so, you know, it is Black History Month, and one of the, I would say, issues in U.S. rowing that we're constantly trying to hit on is diversity. How do we make it more diverse? And you mentioned in your blog post, you know, your dad saying something to you when you went to your first regatta and nobody looked like you. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yep. So, you know, in the city of Philadelphia, they pretty much cut off Kelly Drive. That's the roadway that connects to the rowing course. So they shut that down in order for boat trailers and teams and coach buses and all that to park along that, along Kelly Drive in order to participate in the rowing events. So we always knew that it was shut down, but we never really understood why. And so after bachelor's, you know, allowed me to do that 2 week run in a row, my dad started to bring me down to the regattas. And I mean, I've never been to one. And, you know, it was a lot to take in. But one of the things he highlighted, he just asked me what I saw. And I knew instantly that I didn't see any person of color or any minorities racing. So that was something that was brought up. And he kind of alluded to the fact that you can't, you know, you can't let that stop you from doing it, from participating in a sport. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I can't find a way to get into it. And like I said, the access piece to it, I didn't know how to get back into it after the Bachelor's Learner Row camp. And even with that, you know, it was very challenging just because of the financial aspect behind the sport and how expensive it can be, especially, you know, for a high school kid or middle school, high school kid from the inner city. So there wasn't really any type of scholarships or anything like that. So like I said, the access was hard, but, you know, he kind of highlighted that, you know, we can still figure something out, and somehow, some way, Philadelphia City Rowing came about, and that was my ticket in the door.
So now when you were part of Philadelphia City Rowing, was their program as pretty fleshed out as it is now with all the different activities, or was it basically just rowing?
So, yeah, so when it first started, I was on the first generation of that team. It was pretty much like 8 guys, 8 girls, exactly. So we were definitely very tight, but it was strictly, you know, down to business. And we, you know, it was Lloyd Hall, which is one of the considered Bowhouse One. On Bowhouse Row, it's like a gym provided by the city. It's like a recreation center. And then there's also a connecting cafe called Cosmic Cafe right now. But before that, Cosmic Cafe wasn't there. So it was just like an empty room. So that's what we used to put our stuff down. It was our erg room, our workout room, our locker room. So it was, you know, pretty much we didn't have much, but we had ergs and we had boats, and I mean, pretty much that's all we needed.
It gives me hope for my club because that's all we have right now too.
Right. And you know, it kind of taught us, you know, that we have to, you know, make use of what we have. Just having the opportunity to even do it, you know, I was forever grateful for, and the camaraderie that we built, you know, doing it. Like, everybody that was on my team has never really rode before competitively. So we were all novices. And, you know, we're the few that dared to try rowing. So the number was very small, but it was empowering, just because as we started to go, as we started to build up our skill, and we started to win races, we were able to talk about it with our friends, and it kind of like trickled down. So it allowed the team to start each year to start getting bigger and bigger. And that year, our first year, we won Philadelphia City Championships. So it was, like I said, very uplifting in the fact that we didn't have, like, our boat yard was maybe, I would say, 4 or 5/8 up in height, and maybe a 4 and width. So it wasn't that much room that we had, but we worked with what we had. So
right now, did you go back and to Philadelphia, or
say that again?
Now you've gone back and done some coaching, I think, in some of these programs. Yeah.
Yes. So I've always volunteered after I graduated high school, and, you know, graduated from the team and everything. I've always went back and helped with the learn a row programs in the summertime. I was their middle school coach for about a year, and I also worked with Row New York in New York City for the Brooklyn program for their as their novice program coordinator. So that was all for, you know, both programs are, of course, for inner city kids. So I, you know, tried to be a face in that, and, you know, help build up those programs to, you know, to get more people and, you know, more diversity within the sport.
Right. Well, speaking of that, we'll kind of wrap up. What do you see as sort of the main, or what do you think would help with our diversity in rowing? Like, what do you see as something we could be doing to make it a better situation?
Honestly, I think a lot of people just, you know, in terms of African Americans, because I feel like what I see, there is a lot of, as right now, before it wasn't, but now there's starting to be a lot of promotion and, you know, getting the diversity within the sport. But I think that a lot of people, particularly minority athletes within the sport, you know, need to start sharing their story, because I didn't, you know, for me, I didn't see a face, and I kind of, you know, winged it and tried to, you know, build that path for myself. But, you know, as me or Arshay Cooper, David Banks, a lot of these guys, you know, have been in the sport and are starting to share their stories. I feel like when other athletes, other African-American athletes, or, you know, other minority athletes in general see, you know, their culture within that sport, I feel like that'll drag more. That'll, you know, knock down an obstacle and allow them to, you know, think about joining the sport. And I feel like once that happens, it's all word of mouth. As I started to do the sport and I started to win and I started to, you know, get sponsorship JL as I, you know, went across the world for it. Now I want to share that with somebody else because I kind of want to give somebody else a vision that, hey, you can do this, or actually I want them to be even better than what I did. And so all the fun that I had within the sport, I just want to share that with somebody else. And, you know, kind of it becomes a snowball effect. And I think we're at a special time right now where a lot of these stories are getting out. And, you know, I'm starting to see more and more minority athletes in the sport. So it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And Cassandra Edick, who's one of our faithful viewers, says, thank you for giving back to the sport. And that she loves the idea of sharing your story. And I think that's no better way to put a wrap on this episode, Maurice. Thank you for sharing your story with us and with the whole world.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you again. I promise.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Hey, what an amazing interview. That was...
Gosh. We just have the coolest people. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, think of it. What he's doing and people like him are expanding the sport for everyone. It's...
I distinctly remember taking my kids to their first regatta last year, and it was like, they need to see themselves in more visibility, more representation. And I am so thankful for people like Arshe and for Maurice and everybody who's just making it visible.
Yeah. And
Charlotte,
it makes the sport more healthy for everyone. Yeah.
I love it. Let's like our country.
Exactly. Well, let's wind down. Let's see, what do we, you want to do those?
Absolutely. As we say every week, you guys, please send us your rowing club news. If you have a small club, if you have a big club, if you have a new club, if you have an old club, we just want to celebrate with you guys. So send us information to talk about. And we are always in the mood for gadgets and gear. So send us the cool new apps you're working on, the cool new technologies. Send us all that data stuff that everybody loves and also kind of hates.
Yes, and like the hacks, like the thing that, the little foam thing that fits in a size 14 rowing shoe that you... so that you can actually use the shoe if you're...
I don't even know what that is. Oh, well, my gosh.
Community rowing, like, you know, you get in an eight. Sometimes I row an eight, mostly a single, but I get in an eight, and the shoes are set, you know, for these gigantic people. So somebody found a yoga mat or something and just cut out a little heel cup, and then you can stick that in the shoe and it fits.
I'm telling you, rowers are ingenious.
I know they are. They're so cool.
And the guys that take care of the boats, the fleet managers, those guys deserve some sort of award for how smart they can be.
I know, it's amazing. Well, we do want to acknowledge our sponsors again. Faster Masters has two new amazing 12-week rowing programs out, training programs. Check them out. And Pregel Rowing Camps at rowing.chat/sponsors. You will be finding discounts and deals there. And our hashtag. You want to do our hashtag?
Sure. We've been previewing it. So if you were watching live, you've been seeing it's hashtag RRUSA Rowing for All, the number 4. So rowing, the number 4, all, in celebration of diversity in our sport. And as we leave, let's remind you of who we are. We have Charlotte, and she's with Pierce Press, and they help authors make their way through the publishing journey. Lots of books out lately, Charlotte?
Yeah, got a new one that kind of goes along with our Black History Month. It's about diverse, famous authors.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Nice. I'll show you the little, who's hiding in this book.
I love it. I love it.
There's Chinese American, Mexican American, there's Langston Hughes, alongside in equal measure with Virginia Woolf, Thoreau, you know, those famous names. So
Cool. And lots of concerts lately too.
Me producing concerts. Yeah. Yes. We have a concert series in my town, and we had a smashing concert on Saturday. It had 150 people. So
you do the coolest stuff, Charlotte.
Well, you know, I can't stop. It's a problem. I just can't stop. But where are you? You're down in Hampton.
Hampton, Georgia. Henry County, just south of Atlanta. Yeah. That's us.
And you have a crew there. And we are going to wind down here with our upcoming episodes. We have more on Black History Month next week. Do you know what we've got lined up for next week? Is that Brandon Johnson or BJ Community Rowing?
Yeah, I know we have Philadelphia. Yeah, I think they're at the end of the month.
Yep. And Brandon Johnson has BJ Community Rowing, which is one of the more
cool,
diverse rowing clubs in the country.
Right.
Kimberly Reynolds, we were so happy to have her here. She's with Recovery on Water. She works at the Chicago Fire Department, and she's a graduate of Loyola University, a great ambassador for the sport as well.
Love
thank
it.
You, Kimberly. All right, we're going to wind it up here all in the broadcast, and thank you once again, Shannon, for being thank so you. Cool.
And thank you for Maurice for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedule.
Yeah, Kimberly and Maurice.
Yep.